We are continuing looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we have talked about a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and we've talked about supernatural faith. And this morning I want to talk about the power of healing. Now, obviously, in all of these gifts, and I've said this to you before, but I think it's important to understand, this is obviously not an exhaustive study. There have been volumes of material written about all of these things to understand what they mean, to understand how they operate in our lives. And yet I think the gift of healing and healing for our bodies might be one of the most, I don't want to say misunderstood, because I think we know what healing is, but it might be one of those things that causes the most amount of angst in our hearts as Christians when we talk about healing for a number of different reasons. But before I do anything, let me give you four truths about healing that I believe are fundamental for what we're looking at this morning. Here's the first truth. God desires all of his creation to walk in perfect health. That's God's desire for us, to walk in perfect health. Now, your question may be, so Pastor Dave, if that's true, then why are we like we are? Why do we struggle with the things that we struggle with? Why is it that disease is rampant? Why is it that you cannot turn around and at least one, two, maybe three, four, five people in families are being dealt with cancer issues? Well, the answer to that's very simple. But God wants us to walk in wholeness. Why do I know that? Because that's the way he created us. In the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve perfect. Perfect. You say, well, how do you know that? It doesn't say they were created perfect. Very simple, because the Bible says that God was in their presence. God can't be in the presence of imperfection or of sin. So prior to the sin entering into our lives as humans, as people, Adam and Eve were in perfection. You don't forget now, God brought every single animal, every single creation to Adam and said, here, you name them. That's pretty good if you can name every single animal. There's like a couple of 100,000 different types of insects, I think, and how do you even know what they are when you look at them? Is this pepper or is this a flea? I'm not sure what it's. So you got to have a pretty good mind. You got to be perfect to be able to do something like that. Second truth, because of sin, we will not walk in perfect health until we are with Jesus in heaven. We can't walk in perfect health. You say, well, thanks, Pastor Dave. I feel better now. Gosh, I'm encouraged. Thank you. So I'm going to have to deal with this for the rest of my life? No, I didn't say that we cannot have healing. But our bodies are not going to be walking in perfection again until we are in heaven, because aging is a part of the sin that man has had to endure. We would have lived forever. There would have been no death because we would have been perfect. Sin would not have been able to enter into our bodies, because that's all aging is just the breakdown of the body. Yeah, I didn't think I'd hear any amens on that one either. But you know, there's no aging in heaven. You don't get older in heaven. As a matter of fact, the Bible says you get the desires of your heart in heaven. So I've been trying to decide, what age do I want to be when I get to heaven? I'm trying to think about this. 29, that was a pretty good age. You feel pretty vital. I might be in better shape now than I have been in probably my whole life in some ways. So I'm thinking, how do I combine those two things together? But there's no aging in heaven. But we still need to fight the fight while we're here. And it doesn't mean that we have to give in and deal with those things without using what God has given us in healing. Truth number three, God still moves today to heal miraculously in accordance with his divine will. He's still healing people today. And if you don't believe that, then you better get ready to live in a lot of difficulty physically if you don't believe that God still heals today. You say, well, Pastor Dave, he hasn't healed me. Well, he may not have healed you in a way that you're aware of, but I firmly believe that God is constantly active in our lives when we pray and when we ask him to intervene in our lives. You see, the miraculous healings of Jesus didn't cease when he went back to heaven. Now, there are those that teach that. It's called cessationism. And there are those that teach that when Jesus went back to heaven, and then after the 12 disciples all died off, because obviously Jesus told them, I want you to perform miraculous healings, there are those that believe that that doesn't happen anymore. My friends, I've seen too many situations. I've been a part of a couple of them. Things happening around the world. Stories that you would have a hard time believing, because I had a hard time believing them, and yet I also believe that God is outside of what I can understand or believe. That's a part of understanding what healing is. Here's the fourth truth. God often chooses to perform those miracles, miraculous acts today through us. He will often use us to perform those miraculous acts. It doesn't mean we're the ones performing it. And that's one of the fundamental elements of healing that we have got to be so careful of, is that any time that occurs, it never has anything to do with us. It only has to do with Him. And this is a place, I think, where we have gotten into such trouble with this. It's one of the reasons why people turn a jaundiced eye to healing, is because we in the church have abused this in many ways. True confession time. I've done this before with you, and I have, on behalf of churches and pastors everywhere, I apologize to you for some of the things that have taken place. Why is it that there are so many people outside of the church that when you say the words faith healer, they go, yeah, right. Why is it that that's the first reaction to that? What is a faith healer? It's somebody that has the gift of healing that God has given them, that they can come and in God's authority and power can lay their hands on somebody and something miraculous will take place. And the faith that it takes to be able to see that happen, that's a faith healer. And yet when we think that, what do we think? We think of charlatans. We think of people that are manipulating situations. And can I tell you that, yeah, that's happened. It has happened. Because we take our eyes off of Jesus. We take our eyes off of Him. And we allow our eyes to be set on the people that God is using. It's the instrument. I think of these great golfers. I guess they're playing right now, aren't they? Big news, Tiger Woods went from like 35th to like tied for fourth. I mean, the guy's a machine. He's messed up, but he's a machine. Is that recorded? That's probably recorded. I could be sued now. I'm in a lot of trouble. But what I often think about with these guys is, if I had Tiger Woods golf clubs, I would not hit the ball like he does. It doesn't matter what the golf clubs are. So it's not the instrument itself, it's where it comes from. Healing's the same way. The instrument, which is us, has nothing to do when somebody is healed. It's the power of God operating in and through us. The question is, can we be a vehicle for God to do that or not? And when we look at healing, it is something that is so powerful. And it is something that points people to God so immediately if we're just willing to be a vessel that He can use to do that. Here's what I want us to look at this morning. God wants us to have the confidence in our walk with Him to believe that it is normal and natural to pray for the sick and see them healed. Can we come to that place as a church? That this house, Remnant Life Church, becomes a place where people know that they come in and they ask to be prayed for, that we're going to lay hands on them and pray, and they're going to be healed, and that's going to be normal. I want to get to the place where I'm shocked if somebody doesn't get healed. That's the place I want to get to. There's a guy that has a show on called It's Supernatural. Tell me his name again, honey. Sid Roth. You guys, folks probably know him. One of the taglines that he uses in his show is, it's a place where supernatural is natural. I like that. That's what I want our church to be. I want the supernatural of God to be a natural occurrence in this church. I want healings to take place here. I want to see people coming here that have never, ever been to this place before, have no idea who we are, but they heard somebody say, you know, I went to that church and they prayed for me, and I don't have diabetes anymore. Doctors don't understand it, but I don't have diabetes. I went to that church and they prayed for me, and I used to have to wear these prescription ashtrays with glasses so thick that I couldn't see, and my eyes were healed. I want that to be our house. I want that to be the power of God working in and through each and every one of us here. So what does the scripture say about healing, just very quickly? Well, one of the things that we need to understand is that disease and sickness are inseparably united with sin. That's where that comes from. There was no disease, there was no sickness until sin entered into the picture. That's what brought it in. And yet we have to be careful, because it's easy to get twisted in our thinking a little bit, because we take our natural thought process and we say, well, if sin is what brought sickness and disease in, then only people that are sinning would have sin, sickness, and disease in their lives, right? The Bible says no. As a matter of fact, Jesus actually addressed that. There's the account in John 9 where the disciples are walking along with Jesus and they come to this blind man. And the disciples grab Jesus and they go, come here, come here, come here, come here. So which of this guy's mom or dad sinned? Who was it of his parents that sinned so that he's like that? You remember what Jesus said? Jesus said neither. Neither his mother or his father sinned. He's this way, do you remember? So that the glory of God can be seen in his life. Do I understand why sickness comes into some people's bodies? No, I don't. I do know that God has set certain things in place, the laws, what we call the laws of nature. They're not nature's laws, they're God's laws. But there are certain laws of physics of our bodies that things will take place with disease and with germs and all of those types of viruses and those types of things. But God operates over and above those things. That's what we hold to when we talk about healing. The Bible tells us that when sin entered into the world, it was a curse. That we're cursed. And that because of that sin, we are also cursed. And that curse that we have is that because of sin in our lives, we have to maintain separation from God. That's where the law was brought in the Old Testament. So that when blood sacrifices were made, it was an atonement for the sins of the people. That's why all the Levitical priesthood was all set up. And as you read through the Old Testament and see all of the different things they had to do, all the various laws that they had to obey because of sin, as a way of somehow getting back to God until Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he said, I'm the slaughtered lamb now. I'm the last sacrifice that needs to be given. Because Jesus took the curse for us when he died on the cross. You say, Pastor Dave, I don't understand what this has to do with healing. Because unless you understand that the curse of disease and sickness is under the blood, you can't ask God to come and bring healing if you don't understand that. To know that whatever it is that my body is dealing with, it's been paid for by Jesus. Paul writes in Galatians 3:13, he says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He's the substitute for us, each and every one of us. He substituted himself for us so that we don't have to live under the curse of sin in our lives. Colossians 2:14, he says, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Sickness and disease, our physical bodies, all come under that blood of forgiveness in our lives. So now the question is, okay, so when sickness is here, when we are dealing with those types of things, what do we do? Well, we turn to the scripture. And that's where we learn what it is that God wants us to do. The very first instance of healing that you see in the Bible is all the way back in Genesis 20. Abraham and Sarah are on their trip. Abraham's on his journey. And he and Sarah end up in a nation. And Abraham says to Sarah, come here. Listen, when we go into the city, you tell them you're my sister. All right? Don't tell them you're my wife. Because if you tell him you're my wife, the king's going to see you. You're a very beautiful woman. He's going to kill me, take you, and then where are we? Great man of faith, Abraham, wasn't he? Great man of faith. That encourages me, to be honest with you. It's nice to see that these great patriarchs also struggled from time to time with the same things that I struggle with, a little bit of doubt, a little bit of struggling. So the story goes very quickly then. That's exactly what happened. King Abimelech saw Sarah, said, woo, and brought her to him. Now, the good news for Abimelech was is that God kept him from touching her, it said. He never touched her, but that was the thinking. Until his whole household was struck with impotency. The Bible says that none of the women, none of his wives, none of the people of his house were able to conceive any children for an extended period of time as long as she was with him. Until finally God revealed this to Abimelech in a dream. He said, listen, king, you're in trouble. You've got a married woman with you there. She doesn't belong to you. And of course, Abimelech said, I didn't know this. So he goes to Abraham, and the Bible says that God came and brought healing to the house of Abimelech. That's the first time that you see it. That God came and changed the environment and changed the circumstances. That's the exact same thing that God wants us to do today. To have faith to make a change in our lives. Have faith to be able to pray over someone and see change come into their lives. We see in 2 Kings 5, and this might be one of the most famous accounts of a healing, is with Naaman. Naaman was this great general, this great man, but he had leprosy. Now, the Bible talks about leprosy as sort of a general term. There are anything that was skin-related, the Bible usually refers to as leprosy. But it was something very difficult, something awful, because he was seeking help. And he heard about this prophet by the name of Elisha. And he took his manservant with him, and they took their chariot, and they rode, and they found Elisha. And he said, "Now, go talk to the prophet, tell him what my problem is, tell him to get out here and to do his thing on me so I can be cured." And you know the story. The young man goes to Elisha and says, "My master's out here. He has leprosy. Would you please come pray for him?" And Elisha said, "What I want him to do is this. I want him to go to the Jordan River. I want him to dunk himself down 7 times, and then the leprosy will be gone." You remember the story? And what happens? So the servant boy goes back to Naaman and says, "Well, boss, here's what the guy said." Because the first thing Naaman said is, "So where's the prophet? You mean he didn't come with you?" He said, "No, but he gave me instructions for what you were supposed to do." And he told him, "Dunk yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. Well, Naaman was indignant. He was indignant. He said, "What do you mean go jump the..." He said, "The Jordan's a filthy river." He said, "Don't I have all these nice rivers back in my place that I can go back there and get in there nice and clean? I don't want to dunk myself in this filthy, ugly river." And fortunately, and I found this to be so true in our lives today, God sends people to speak words of wisdom into our life if we're willing to listen. Because the servant boy said to Naaman, "Listen, Naaman, you came all this way. What do you have to lose? Give it a shot. See what happens." And the story goes on. That Naaman says, okay. He goes out and he gets in the river once, twice, 3 times, 4 times. About the 5th time, what would you be thinking at that point? Would there be any doubt in your mind by that point? You're down there going, "This is so stupid. I can't believe I did it just 4 times. Look at that. I got this gunk all over me. It's going to be in my sandals now. I don't know how I'm going to get that out of there. I just bought this tunic." Go down for the... Don't look for that. That's probably not in there, but he goes down for the 6th time, and then finally goes down the 7th time, comes back up. The Bible says his skin was pure. It was clean. Naaman nearly missed his opportunity for healing because he doubted the simplest thing that God wanted him to do. How many times in our lives are we asking God for something that to us is a tremendously big deal, and God wants to deal with it and take care of it, but it turns out it's a very simple process for us to walk? My friends, all we need is just the faith. What's the Bible say? Of what size? Mustard seed, tiniest little thing, and be amazed at what it is that God will do for us. Healing for our bodies is sometimes nothing more than just simply saying, "God, I surrender myself to you, and whatever it is you want to do in me, have your way in my life." And then, of course, Jesus on his ministry, the vast majority of everything that he did had to do somehow with healing the people around him. For many people, it was healing their hearts and their minds. The Bible records 35 miracles of Jesus, and 23 of them were about physical healing. Jesus said everywhere he went, "Let them come to me. Let them come so that I can heal them, so that they can be healed and they can walk in wholeness." You know something I think it's interesting, and as I was considering this that I wanted to share with you today, it occurred to me that when Jesus did his healing, when he was healing people, virtually every time there was some measure of physicality involved with it. You think about that. Jesus laid his hands on someone's eyes. Jesus placed his hand on couple of dead people, and they rose from the dead because of the power of Jesus. But there was so often that Jesus touched people. Now, the culture in that eastern area of the world is very touchy. It hasn't escaped me that I realize that because of the way that we live in this country, it might be one of the reasons why we see so few of these things taking place. Every one of us has our physical bubble around us that we don't want anybody to get in, unless they're very close to us. Of course, your husband, your wife, you want them close to you. Close friends you may want to embrace and hug, but if somebody comes up to you on the street, what is about an arm's length? You don't want them inside your personal space. And it occurred to me that I think it's just one more way that the enemy has tried to separate us from the way that God created us to be, a physical people that love one another. The Bible says that when we pray for one another, that we're to lay hands on each other. But do you know you have to ask people today if you can do that or not? And I think you do. If you have a stranger come into your church, somebody you don't know, and they want to be prayed for, you need to say to them, it's okay if I put my hand on your shoulder. It shouldn't be that way, but it is. And it's because the enemy has tried to continue to remove us from the way God created us to be. God created us to be physical people. That's why he wants us to walk in health. That's why he wants us to be whole in those things. The other thing also Jesus did many times was he wanted to find out the faith level of the people that he was talking with and what they wanted. Matthew 20 tells us the account of two blind men that were screaming out for Jesus. You remember the story? Jesus came up to them. And what did he do? He said, guys, what can I do for you? Now, if it wasn't Jesus asking that, what would you have thought? What would have happened if you'd been one of the blind guys? I thought about this. I thought one of my questions might have been, excuse me, are you blind too? I mean, is that, what are we working with here? I'm blind. I can't see. What do you think I want you to do for me? I want you to give me a sandwich. No, I want you to heal my eyes. I want to see again. You know, Jesus knew what they wanted. Jesus didn't need that information for his own understanding. What he was trying to see was, what's your level of faith? And are you willing to speak that in a way that shows me that your heart is aligned with what it is that you want me to do? Folks, he still wants the same thing from us today. Do you believe that when you pray, God is going to heal? Do you believe that no matter what the circumstances that you're dealing with, that God is present to bring change into that environment? Of course, the disciples also saw people healed. They were commissioned to go out. But here's one other thing, and then I'm going to start wrapping this up. Not only were the 12 disciples commissioned, their Bible also tells us in Luke 10 that there were 70 others that Jesus commissioned to go out and to heal. And then we read again in Mark where he commissioned another entire group of people. And that group of people, when you look at the language originally, it's a broad commission. In other words, each and every one of us that call him Lord have been commissioned with that same responsibility, with that same ability, with that same power. Again, it's not our power. It's the power of God working through us. But every single one of us have been commissioned by God to pray for people. Every single one of us have been commissioned by God to have a faith that says, God, I believe that you can change my circumstances. Even when someone else says, no, it can't happen. Doctor said your boy's not going home for a week maybe. No, God intervened. God can do anything he wants to do. Can bring change in any circumstance and in any situation. So let me ask you this. What is it that makes people shy away from doing this? What is it that makes people uncomfortable about praying for healing? Well, I think the first one is this, is that many people are concerned that they'll look foolish if something doesn't happen right away. Say, okay, Pastor Dave, I'm going to do this. A buddy of mine said his arm was hurting. Can I touch you? Okay, I'll pray for you. Pray for his arm. And then I stopped. They asked him how his arm felt. Said it felt worse. Now what do I do? I got a pastor buddy of mine. He said he prayed for a person, and 2 weeks later, they died. That's not going to make you feel much better, is it? Well, here's what we need to understand. When we pray about healing, first thing is this. God is not obligated to heal. Let me say that again, because you may be going, oh, wait a minute. God is not obligated to heal at our word. And there's some teaching that I've come across from time to time that I think we need to be careful about. Because that teaching says that if I pray with enough faith, and if I muster up enough of this, they will be healed. And if they're not healed, either the problem's mine or the problem's theirs. Can I tell you that neither of those two things are true? Neither of them. God is not obligated to heal. God heals because he loves us. That's why he heals. He heals us because he cares about us. We see in Exodus where the children of Israel have been crying out for generations to God because they've been in bondage for 400 to 600 years underneath the Egyptians. And the Bible says that God's heart was moved towards them. Jesus gets off a boat at the Sea of Galilee and sees over 5,000 people. Most scholars say it was probably between 12 and 15,000 when you count the women and the children. The Bible says that Jesus had compassion for them. He has compassion for us today. But here's the most important thing about all of that. Healing comes from God according to His purpose and according to His will. My friends, we can never, ever lose sight of that. It's according to His purpose and to His will. There have been people that have been prayed for, very godly people, that their circumstances did not change. Why? I don't know. But I trust God that He knew. Perhaps that person happened to continue to deal with that over a long period of time, and their life of still giving glory to God was going to be an inspiration to someone else that they would not have had if that person had been healed. Maybe that sickness in that person was going to draw their family together to rally around them and to become deeper in prayer and deeper in love for one another. Maybe that person wasn't healed because they needed to learn some things about trusting God for a period of time. I don't have answers for those things. And I don't try to figure out why God does what He does. What I want to do is to be filled with faith to know that according to Your will, Father, I'm going to pray for this person to be healed this morning. I'm going to pray over them and believe. You may want to heal them right then. Glory to God. You may want to have them work through that for a period of time. You say, Pastor Dave, come on. I mean, aren't you just sort of like playing both ends against the middle? No. All I'm simply saying is that when you trust in God, you release your will to Him. You release what you want to what He wants. We never know the mind of God, and we certainly will never know the timing of God. God will use us. God will work through us, sometimes in ways we never even considered. I think I shared this with you before. I prayed for a woman one time. She said her back was bothering her and her husband was with her. She said, would you pray for my back? I said, sure. So I asked, can I place my hand on your back? She said, sure. So I put my hand there and I put my other hand on the guy's shoulder, the husband, and we prayed. And that was done. They said, thank you, and they left. Came back the next week and I saw the husband. I said, how's your wife's back? He said, well, she's still struggling with it, to be honest. And I thought, oh, that was a powerful prayer. Thank you. I'm so glad I had that time with her. He said, but let me tell you what else happened. He said, you know, you put your hand on my shoulder. He said, my shoulder had been bothering me for years, and ever since you got done praying, I have no pain in my shoulder at all. I didn't know God was going to do that. I wasn't even thinking about that guy. But God is not restricted by what we think or by what we do. All we have to do is be willing vessels. My friends, can we be willing vessels for Him? God will use us in whatever time and in whatever way He chooses. He may use you to pray over somebody one time for them to be healed. Can He do that with you? God may give you the gift of healing, where virtually every time you pray for somebody, they get healed. That's an incredible gift. And if God chooses to put one of you in this church with that gift, I'm going to be tickled. That's going to be great. But what we are going to all do is to pray for each other in a way that we're going to be filled with faith. Amen? Well, this morning, as I said to you, what I want to do is this. And it's a little bit different, and we're a little bit late, and I want to go up and make sure Jeff and Christy are okay. Your kids are great. I'm just fussing with you. But I want to take just a few minutes this morning, and what I'm going to do is I want to pray a prayer of benediction over you. And those of you that are ready to go, you can go. But I believe that God brought some of you here this morning to be prayed over for sickness and for pain and for healing. And I'm going to ask you, do you remember last week I talked about faith, supernatural faith, and that faith is not born out of our actions. That's not where our faith comes from. But when we have that faith, actions result from that faith. Remember me telling you that? We can't work up faith. But when we embrace what it is that God gives us, actions naturally occur out of that. So I'm going to ask you this morning, if you want to be prayed over, prayed for a sickness or some type of healing, I'm going to ask you to come up front. I'm going to ask you to come right up here. And I'm going to ask Faith, if you would, and Katarina and Mom, if you would come as well, Randy. And if you want to be prayed over, we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. This doesn't have to be long. It's not a long, drawn-out thing. There's not going to be a lot of screaming, hooting, and hollering. Can I tell you that most of the people that I've seen that get all worked up with all the hysterics, they do it for their own benefit and has nothing to do with God? I'm sorry. I know that might be sacrilege to some of you who have, but I just, God doesn't need that. God can tell a guy, go dunk yourself in a dirty, filthy river 7 times. That's all that was needed. Just be obedient. And so this morning, if you're here and you want prayer for anything, I want to invite you to come, and we're going to pray over you. We're going to believe for God to make a difference in your life. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you, Father, that you are here with us. I thank you, God, that you do want to heal us, that you do desire us to walk in healing. But, Father, just as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but your will be done. And so, Father, I ask that as we pray this morning for those that desire to be prayed over, I ask, God, that you would come and that you would make a change in their lives. We ask this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. And so, Paul, I'm going to ask you just to play some music.